Yeah, g'day Tripod family. It's Dane from Clarkie's Rugby League column, joined by my co-host as always, Jacob from Tripod. The Podfather, the man that without his knowledge and expertise, none of this would exist. And it is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to yourself and to all the dads out there listening. Great round of action. No doubt everyone's eyes are 1 week ahead, but how are you going, mate?
Right back at you, mate. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to our dads and all the dads out there. Echo your sentiment. I'm no expert, though. I'm wounded and I'm ice cold on these tips. And let's start there. Look, if you're going bad, you're going bad. But I kind of stand back and I look at, you know, four tips for this round and the ill fate of each of the four. You tip Brisbane, you're trying to help the followers out and tip Brisbane in at -5.5 early. And that's 12.5 by Monday. And then Kevy rests everyone, which has been, you know, much discussed. It's just, it is unfortunate for that tip, whether that decision was right or wrong. It did cost Brisbane the minor prem. The thing is, Brisbane still had a chance. Like, the line closed 5.5. So you're still kind of 50-50, 6-point lead, second half, but you lose. Okay. Then the next tip is a day later. You take the Dragons as an underdog, and then they're a favorite by Teamless Tuesday. But the Knights don't rest barely anyone. You're still a chance. In fact, the Dragons closed a favorite on some bookies on Saturday. Not many players came out, maybe Leo Thompson, but they weren't good enough. Slow start and an awful finish, even when a fight back was on. So you're like, those are two losses. The actual tip I gave out on its merit on Wednesday when I knew the team list was my Finns. So I'm wearing my Finns kit as a tribute because they were the one winning best bet, and they did get a win to end a mighty season. And then I had the mixed matchup, which is the most brutal of all. And I went Finns more tries than Knights. And the Finns put 6 up on the board for us Saturday afternoon. And the Knights had just 4 with under 10 minutes to go when they had a man sin bin. And if anything, the Dragons had a real chance to fight back and win that game. And once the sin bin was called, I thought, well, yeah, now we're safe. There's no way like Knights are going to score twice. The Knights scored 2 tries in the final 3 minutes. And if you look at them, 2 of the best finishes, particularly the final one, Dom Young, like maybe the greatest finish by a winger you ever see if you see the still. And I'm not even convinced he scored, but you give it to him. Just like the most miraculous try you'll ever see. In fact, 2 in the final 3 minutes for it to be a 6-all on the mixed matchup. And we lose in the event of a tie, which is why we've got the plus odds. It's like that's a tip that you want to be on every day of the week as well, but it lost. So look, in the long run, you feel they're going to go both ways. But I've never won a tip like that. I've never been like, oh, I need miraculously a team to score 2 tries in the final couple of minutes and get that. So yeah, I'm hurting, mate. But on the footy front, we got quite a few entertaining games, and we will of course touch on each and every one of them. Maybe a word on the teams that are departing, and then obviously an eye towards the finals.
Yeah, those 2 tries by Dom Young were like genuinely 2 of the best you'll ever see. And the fact they happened in the span of 2 minutes apart from each other, the odds of that occurring under the nature at which they occurred would be so astronomically high. And for what it's worth, with tries sort of at the last minute today, I had a friend ask me for the Sunday games. He said, what do you like? I said, mate, I think Titans win by -9.5. And I said, I think you take the Sharkies -5.5. The Titans were up by 10. They throw an offload for the last tackle of the game and the Bulldogs score and ruin his multi. So I did feel for my mate there. But we go to the finals. So it looks like we don't have dates yet, Winnie, from what I can see. But we're going to have Panthers v Warriors at Penrith.
Broncos, and that looks like Saturday night, Saturday, from what I'm hearing. Yep.
Broncos v Melbourne at
Friday night, of course.
Friday. Knights v Raiders now, and that's in
early
Newcastle.
Saturday is what I've seen.
And then we're looking at Sharkies v Roosters.
Sunday.
It's all of those games. I could go a million ways right now. I'm already thinking towards the preview. That is such an exciting week of footy coming up. But let's keep our minds right here with what we've just saw in our round 27 recap. We go to the first game of the week, Thursday night. Storm defeated the Broncos 32-22. Winnie, what has been my number one rule for the Storm this year? Something I always rag on about.
Yeah, you don't doubt them.
I know, you never underestimate them. And I did hear, I hate to say it, but I underestimated them. Deservedly, we pay for it with a best bet here. They extend their winning streak over the Broncos to 14 games in a row. They're going to Suncorp Diversum next week, and they've not lost at Suncorp against them since 2009. And I just really felt that the new crop of Broncos would come in, and that's just a stat that they probably don't even know about if they're not big footy heads. And I felt that Kevy could really get the maroon and say, hey, guys, this is your premiership. You guys can make your own little legacy at the club here as the baby Broncos that win us this minor premiership. And to be fair, they did play with really good energy and intent, particularly early on, jumping out to a 12-0 lead. From what I saw, their fitness levels really dropped away at about the 20-minute mark, really, in both halves. Four of the six tries that the Storm scored came with roughly 10 minutes to go in either half, two in each. Storm are renowned for their fitness, tough pre-seasons, their composure, and those factors there really were the difference. Where the Broncos had that youthful energy and come out with so much intent, the Storm, although they were very young and inexperienced, seemed to weather that early and then allow their fitness and composure to grab the Broncos late in the halves, which I thought was really impressive considering how young the sides were. Sua Farlongo, Winnie, what a debut. What did you make of his debut and this game as a whole, please?
It's amazing watching games like this and thinking like these guys aren't first choice fullbacks in the NRL. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the guy who played for Brisbane as well, Tristan Saylor, who was outstanding. I take your point that Brisbane fell away at the end of halves. I also think like the game just swung, particularly first half. Brisbane's up double digits in attack and intercept try, right? Yeah. So that swings the game. Soon after that, an offload, but Farlongo on the back of it. And then linking with Pappenhausen, like that was incredible. That was breathtaking. The two of them in full flight, you know, so exciting. And the game that everyone complained about because it was B team versus B team was set alight. Like it was one of the most entertaining games of the season. At that point, Brisbane still gets back on top, and it was a big part thanks to touches and moments from Saylor. And as I said, back in front, but then concede the final three tries. It was a Storm who finished stronger. So you've got to say what a testament that is to the toughness, the fitness, and the depth of the Melbourne Storm, because Brisbane should have matched them on paper and had more to play for and were in front of their home fans who really wanted that minor premiership. They haven't won it for over 20 years. They let it slip. You know, that's a decision that they had to live with when they rested everyone who was important. They knew that they had it for sure, the minor prem sewn up, but they decided this was more important. When Flegler looked like he was hurt early, you could kind of understand Kevy's thinking. I feel like if Brisbane had gone on and won, which they were perfectly capable of doing, everyone will say, well, that was perfect. The best of both worlds. You got the silverware and the win, and Kevy would be a genius. I did see afterwards a lot of criticism Kevy's way because they didn't win. I feel like it's one of those ones. Yeah, you're a genius or you're a fool, depending on the result. But, you know, it's easy to judge it afterwards. And it is pretty unreal that these two will hook up again at the same stadium and there'll be about 20-plus elite players joining the fray.
And the reason why I created my rule where I never underestimate the Storm, and I was just confirming that while you were speaking, was Billy Slater retired in 2018. And I came out with a hot take that the Storm will fall out of the top four this year. I said, Cameron Smith, you see him playing a lot more halfback now since Cronk's departure, but I said he can't fill a void at fullback. That's not his skill set. 2019, the first year after they lost Slater, they finished first. The next year they finished second. And the next year they finished first again. Little did I know they had Scott Drinkwater, Jerome Hughes, Ryan Pappenhausen, and now Sua Farlongo all ready to
Nico
go.
Nico Hines was in the mix as well.
How could I forget Nico Hines? Mm. It's unbelievable. It is seriously unbelievable, the talent they have down there in Melbourne. And yeah, I underestimate them and egg all over my face again. They're just that good. Let's go to Friday night. It was the Sea Eagles and Tigers. Sea Eagles got a big victory here, 54-12. Respectfully to both sides, I kind of looked at this game early on and thought this is probably the one where you're a little bit on your phone, you're chatting, you're not really too engaged. And it kind of did pan out that way. It wasn't the most entertaining contest with nothing at stake for either side. But credit to Manly. Motivation was there for them, being that it was Jake Trbojevic's 200th. And I liked what you said in the preview, where it's an isolated game with no pressure or expectation on the line, other than to appreciate a club great's 200th. And because of that, they did look a step ahead all night. Where do you start with the Tigers? Like, you've had a horrible season, back-to-back wooden spoons. You want to come in and just dig in on your final game. Give it a red-hot crack. Nothing to lose. No footy next week. And they conceded 45 seconds in. I was sitting there and I face-palmed. I couldn't believe it. To their credit, they did fight back for about 10 minutes there, which they have done at stages this year in little periods. You know, there was a period against the Bulldogs early on, the Cowboys game, Panthers. There's been periods where they've been really dominant, but not very often has it gone for 80 minutes. On Manly's season, a word on them as they bow out after this. I believe in our preview, I had them as high as as low as 13th. And then I put them up to 9th after they won the preseason challenge. So I kind of had them in that category where I think they would miss the eight but go close. And I think I kind of got it from that perspective. On the Tigers, a quick note on their season, I didn't see them going back-to-back for the wooden spoon. I know you did, which is a really, really bold call at the time because Tigers fans are so passionate and they hate when you predict negative around their club. But really disastrous campaign for them. The coach comes in with a clear plan. That plan's now out the window after the other plan was out the window. And it just they just really haven't got that roadmap set, have they, Winnie? Where here's where we are. Here's where we need to get to. They just keep chopping and changing in between. And I probably do see something similar like this happening next year. And then I think when 2025 rolls around, you probably see players like Bateman, Papali'i really looking to break their contract and get out of the Tigers. But I want to go to you, a word on this game as a whole and then both of these sides' seasons, please.
In terms of this game, should have been on Manly, you know, 13+, because the line was a bit inflated, but we understood that they would want to play in the spirit of Jake Trbojevic, which is give effort for the entirety of the match. And it was pretty clear that was going to happen. Like, even though the Tigers answered and might have answered Manly's opening try, that was only after Manly had bombed a couple. Like, the crazy thing is Manly could have had even more in this game, but it was pretty clear that the Tigers hadn't turned up. And look, bad teams don't turn up and dig in, week out. And I actually give West credit that they have for the majority of the year. They got so embarrassed up in North Queensland. If you go game by game, as I have on a previous pod, you can say that they really did fight pretty hard in just about each of them. And they clearly just ran out, running on fumes by this point, nothing to play for, heads down, especially once you get down a couple of tries. And they were pretty feeble. And, you know, it's pretty embarrassing when the other team is, you know, can choose who scores and they're handing a try to Jake Trbojevic. Like, great moment. I know people are stoked and people that back Trbojevic for it, you know, a milestone try and then I don't want to get the name wrong. Chan Kum Tong, you know, he gets one as well. Yeah. But it's kind of a bit of a piss take when you can do that. So very embarrassing for the Tigers. A lot to think about. I mean, either way, they were going to go into the offseason off a wooden spoon and going to need to do some soul searching. There were some positives for West, though, over the year. Just another thing, Buller. I mean, I think Coruscant has been as good as advertised. It's just he needs more players to go with him. And Manly, yeah, they're what we expected realistically. And had Tom Trbojevic been fit for the entirety of the season, they would have won a couple more and they would have been right on the fringe of the eight, which is what you expect, that they're a finals team with a healthy Tom all year. But they got to get that part right. And that's probably the biggest unknown for Manly.
They do. And on the Tigers, I was having a look then. So, yeah, proof from last year, they had 4 wins in both seasons, but roughly 100 less of a negative, 4 and against here. For what it's worth, next year, I do see them probably starting the year a little bit better. We don't know the draw yet, but if they do have some winnable games, I probably see Benji's enthusiasm and keenness rubbing off on the side and getting some early wins. But then I think ultimately the same, their season will really fall away once they get into the thick of it. Maybe similar to like the Dolphins this year, for an example. Roosters v Rabbitohs, 26-12. The Roosters walk away winners. And I did lean to them in our preview. I believe I said words to the effect of I'll tip them, but not with great confidence. So the fact they've won 13+ here, I really can't claim that at all. I didn't see a 13+ to either side in this one. In fact, I would have thought 1-12 either side would have actually been a great bet, even with hindsight. Bunnies came into the game 5 out of 7 in their recent wins over the Roosters. They were fresh off a bye. They were at home. They did have plenty of advantages despite the noise surrounding the club at that stage. And I thought they were competing well without being great. But then once Taff got knocked out, I've got to admit, I probably thought right there and then that's game over for them. No disrespect to Alex Johnston, but he's just not a Latrell and he's not a Taff. He's a very consistent winger, but he's not going to offer you that ball playing out the back that we know Cody Walker needs to create that extra number on the left side there. So once Taff went down, I thought, yeah, this is not looking good for the Bunnies at all. And I did feel for the Roosters, they did a good job of isolating Walker and Ilias. They combined for 13 missed tackles. A lot of those were from the Roosters' back rowers running at them. And I feel like that did take a bit of composure out of their kicking and passing game when it came to attack. But really, the difference in this game for me was two players. It was Teddy and Walker. They were energetic from the get-go. They were willing to risk their hand, but in a sensible way as well. They were involved in everything. And I really think that should be the Roosters' blueprint for the rest of this final series, no matter who they play. allow those two to really control the game, play what they want, and then have Luke Keary, although the 5-8th, have him as the game manager, so to say. But the Roosters are on a 5-game win streak now, Winnie. They're looking for 6 in a row next week. So they'll be against Sharks. How high are you on the Roosters, and how did you see this game?
I'm fairly high on the Roosters. You know, I massively rate Robinson and the talent of this team. The big question mark moving forward is how severe is the Manu injury? Can he come back in? I want to start with South Sydney first and take my share of the responsibility. I've probably put the mock on them, talking about let's buy low on South. Let's back them to make top 4 7 weeks ago. This is where they can improve. They've had excuses, but when everyone gets back together, they'll be a fun team to cheer on. They were not fun to cheer on for the back end of the season. And I never thought they could miss the finals, because whenever I looked at the draw, there was a couple of games in there like Dragons, Tigers, you knew they'd win. And you just felt like if they really need the final game of the year, it's off a bye. And that's such an advantage. And we don't even know if the Roosters will still be in the hunt. And I didn't think it should come down to that final game, but clearly it did. Then Latrell's suspended. Then the Roosters are coming in on 4 straight wins. You're like, well, this is definitely not a sure win. I still thought they probably would win. And you said that you felt they were done when Taff went out. And I definitely take your point, because Johnston's just going to be serviceable and he's not going to let you down at the back, but he's not going to add anything. And it also shifted everybody one out on the left edge, and they bombed at least one, if not 2 tries going through the hands, where, you know, it could have been Walker to Tass to Johnston, and the timing, you know, seamless between those players. But who was it? Cheekham, who did score one, you know, but they bombed another one and they just weren't as crisp. So that was the flow-on effect, losing Taff. But that wasn't where they lost the game, because South's got the score back to 16-12 down second half. And I felt had all the running, had all the possession, had all the territory, had the stronger middles coming rolling off their bench. And I felt like Souths could roll over the Roosters. Now, Teddy was inspirational. You know, scores that try that was so key early in the second half, where the pass was behind him on a break when he's just pushing through, supporting. But his strength and his you know, deadly finishing, which we haven't seen a lot of this year, is key. You know, that's the difference between scoring or when most players wouldn't have been able to find a try out of that moment. And then I just think, yeah, I also agree Sam Walker was outstanding. And Hutchison was man of the match like 3 games ago in a win. But they knew the higher upside was to get Sam Walker back in the team. He's recovered well from that partial ACL tear, you know, how fortunate that is. And it's awesome to see him do his thing, because it does raise the ability of the team overall. And it goes back to me, toughness for the Roosters, holding Souths out under all that pressure, ultimately, you know, forcing a couple of mistakes and then getting the tries late, which blows the score out. I don't feel like it totally reflects the match, because I think with 20 to go, I still felt the Rabbitohs could win it. But story of their season, that they couldn't execute when their best result required, they just slipped.
And so much change for this Bunny side. I think it was around 20 where you and I started thinking top 4 was a possibility with a late run here. They lost to the Broncos. Then they weren't at their best against the Tigers or the Dragons, but we kind of gave them a pass mark, because it's like, well, they're lower sides, they're going to fight hard. Rabbitohs just did enough. But the loss to the Sharks, that was so unexpected. Sharkies were on a 3-game losing streak. Rabbitohs lose to them in Perth. Then they versus the Knights when, you know, only 5 rounds ago, the Knights were not looking out that much at all. Same story for the Roosters. Ultimately, so much changed for the Rabbitohs in this season, but it will go down as statistically the worst ever fall off. They were first in round 12, like you said. They're the first.
Yeah, well, round 11. I think I got it wrong, but yeah.
Round 11. So from round 11 or 12 onwards, they had the worst collapse ever seen in NRL era. No one's ever gone from first at that point to missing finals completely. So really, really catastrophic for the Bunnies. Let's move to Saturday. Dolphins v Warriors opened us up, and the Dolphins got a 34-10 point victory. And I was really split on this game. I had 2 ways I was looking at it. I was looking at Warriors plus 4.5 or Dolphins 1-12. Throw both of them at the window. I did not think the Dolphins had a 24-point win in them. And it's strange because I kind of contradicted myself. I did say on this show a few times, the Dolphins are going to win some games you don't expect them to down the stretch. And this probably loomed as the best opportunity at Suncorp, at their home stadium, big crowd against this Warriors side that was missing a lot of players. And whilst it was very disappointing for the Warriors, you'd say, going into finals, I almost view this loss as the exact same to when they beat the Eels in round 19. And that was when the Eels were missing Brown to suspension, Moses Gutherson to the Blues. And I think Warriors won like 46-10. And at that point for the Eels, you thought, well, that's a devastating loss, but it doesn't really matter because it wasn't our actual team. I think Warriors can apply almost the same mindset there. Yeah, it's a loss, but, you know, they weren't full strength and I don't think they'll read into it too much. For the Dolphins, a word on their season, I think you probably give them a pass, Mark. You probably give them a C+. I think you give them a C+ because most people expected them to be in the bottom four this year. I know I did. But they did show up in a lot of games. You know, you look at other sides around them at that point on the ladder, such as the Bulldogs, Dragons, etc., and they didn't show up in games the way this Dolphins side did show up this year. Factor in it's their first year in a competition. The last side we saw into was in 2007, years ago. Then you look at what they've got coming in 2024 as well, Winnie. Farnworth, Flegler, Avarillo, to name a few. So I think Dolphins can give themselves a pass mark for this season. Their fans can ultimately be happy. 30,000 plus of them. Very impressive in their first year. And I think 2024 looks really positive for the Dolphins. How did you find your team's inaugural NRL season and how did you find this victory?
Well, you're harsh there. I'm giving them an A-. They went into the season with the expectation to get the wooden spoon, to win 4 to 5 games. They won 9 games this year. I think A+ would have been making the finals. And anything beyond that would have just been kind of ludicrous with the roster they had because they didn't really nail any of the big marquee players they wanted. But we talked about who they unearthed. Don't forget Tom Gilbert was shut down mid-season. Now, that was a big loss, and maybe they would have got one or two extra wins had he been there because he was so important there at lock. Other players were in and out a little bit from the team, but clearly what the Hammer was able to do this year was super, and I'm glad you mentioned that. It's not easy to sign quality free agents, especially prior to their prime years. Like, it's somewhat easier to get guys on the back of their prime and pay a little bit overs and hope to get what they've got left in the tank, a la Jesse Bromwich. But to get Herbie Farnworth and to get Flegler, these are rep-level players. They paid a bit overs, but they both had outstanding years at Brisbane and their seasons are still going on. Avarillo, a shrewd pickup there as well. If you count that as part of what they did this year, then, yeah, I'm definitely giving it an A. Call it A- because I know there was a run there where they probably only won one game in about 10 weeks, but started the year and finished it with a emphatic win at Suncorp Stadium, lots of home wins. And in this particular game, it wasn't unexpected. They were favourites once New Zealand named their team. So they kind of won the game on Tuesday, which is why I liked them and I had to find a way to play them. So I did go best bet over 4.5 tries. I had 4 in the first half, got the jump on New Zealand. While the Warriors mounted a little comeback and it must have been 22-10 type score when New Zealand did get back-to-back in the second half. And you go, oh, this is interesting. But the Dolphins hung on for the win, scored a couple late as well. And I totally agree about New Zealand. Like, you didn't name your strongest team because you didn't need to win this one. So while you had won 7 in a row and it'd be nice to keep that win streak going, it really doesn't matter in the scheme of things. I guess had New Zealand won, they would have stayed in third and avoided Penrith, who we're going to get to. That is a scary proposition after what we saw the Panthers do. So that you could argue that's a negative for New Zealand, but I was in the camp of resting your best players, the smartest move. They achieved that. They kind of get a free roll to throw the kitchen sink at Penrith next week.
And I had a few friends over watching this game, having a few beers, and I said to my mate, I'll flick you $50, build out a multi for us, and forget the multi-winning. He sees the Warriors at 250 right after kickoff. He calls up Live Sportsbet, comes in, he goes, mate, I've put $100 on the Warriors. I can't believe they're $2.50. I said, you haven't, have you? And he goes, yeah, I have. And I said, dude, have you seen the team sheet? He goes, no. And I was like, well, you've just made a donation right there. And on the Dolphins, this is quite embarrassing. You guys actually did finish above the Titans on 4 and against this year, which is really sad for my team, considering you're in your first year and we're in, you know, 15.
Well, I said something wrong a couple of weeks ago. I said that the Dolphins didn't beat any teams twice this year. How did we forget between us? Yeah. I was wrong. The Dolphins beat one team twice, both very memorable games, in fact.
Let's move on. Finals. Both of our teams won't be here. It's now rolled around. Who are you going to go for in the finals? Do you have another team you've got your own to support, jump on the bandwagon for?
Look, it would be kind of who I've got my money on first and foremost, but I've got a soft spot for the Waz for sure. Like, doesn't everybody? So that would be fantastic. That has to be, yeah, my team I go for. That's why I was telling people I should have been at this game because it's kind of my two teams. Although I've had a love-hate relationship with the Warriors in terms of my betting results, I've always been a fan from afar.
Yeah, I'll just pause there for the show and the Tripod family. Give me one moment here. Oh, my green screen doesn't like it at all. All right, let's continue.
Well, we're both part Kiwi as well. I don't know if everyone knows that, but we're both part Kiwi, so we're definitely claiming it this time of year.
Yeah, up the Waz on the bandwagon for sure. Let's jump on to the next game, Panthers v Cow. And I'm sure you were sitting there thinking, what's this guy doing? is there an error?
No, I actually had a feeling.
You knew it was coming. Yeah, fair enough. Our next game was Panthers and Cowboys. 44-12, the Panthers pick up a huge victory here to lock in another minor premiership for them. And I've got to admit, as soon as the Broncos lost on Thursday night, I immediately favoured the Panthers here in a big way. And I did still see rumours on Instagram. Some pages were saying that Cleary's still going to be rested regardless. And I thought they'd be silly. Like, surely they'll just play their full strength side and wrap up the minor again, extend their dominance. I just felt that the Panthers are always going to be too professional to drop the minor premiership close to full strength at home, where they've only lost like three or four games since 2020. And with respect to the Cowboys and how their season's panned out, if the Panthers were going to lose a shock game, probably wasn't going to be the Cowboys, respectfully there. That does put an end to the Cowboys campaign. And can I say, without being biased, I actually think my Titans did that at Cbus Super Stadium because they were on like a 7-game win streak there. I fully felt in my heart they were going to come to Cbus and they were going to pump us. That's exactly what I felt. They didn't there. And I'm sure Cowboys will look back on that game and think, how did we lose that against the Titans? Like, we were riding so hot. If they had won that, 32 points, I'm just looking at, yeah, they'd be in the finals if they beat the Titans in that game, even though they lost this one. They would have still played finals. So that there's a key loss for them. Meanwhile, the Penrith roll on. They are premiership favourites. I've got them here at $2.40. Next closest is Broncos at $3. So how'd you see this one? And man, just a word on the Panthers. They're just so dominant, aren't they?
Panthers were unbelievable. So they signaled their intent when they named their team Tuesday. We now know in hindsight, because Ivan kind of came clean Saturday. He was always going to play his strongest side, at least so he says. You know, we never know. Had Brisbane won, he could have made up to 5 changes on the Friday. Once Ivan actually didn't drop any of the stars in the 24 hours before kickoff Saturday, and in fact brought Tungo into the lineup, you're like, he's actually made the team stronger. Like, there was still a possibility you could rest two on game day, but it was like Jamin Salmon and guys, you know, guys that played grand final that were in the reserves. Like, it still was going to be an ultra strong side, and it was clear by Friday that they had the motivation for the game. So remember I said that if Brisbane won, I thought the line would increase by about 4 points. The line didn't really increase. Okay, maybe some bookies were around 9.5. And after the Storm won, the line did get to 10.5, 11.5. So you got through 10. But I thought it had to go through 12, through 14 and more. Like, I thought, okay, yes, everyone understands that North Queensland's playing for their season, so they'll play hard. But this is Penrith at Penrith, full strength, going for the minor premiership and clearly wanting a tune-up. And they were just kind of flawless first half. Like, they never really gave the Cowboys a chance. And the Panthers are so deadly on fifth tackle because they give themselves every opportunity to score, but they're also so savvy that they know when they need to drop it on the boot, or they're amazing at keeping the ball alive and working together. And I think they scored at least 3 or 4 of their first 5 tries, like, on fifth tackle, which just hurts you that much more. So while North Queensland was similar to the Finns, score a couple in a row starting in the second half, maybe giving you some shred of hope. But the reality was that the Cowboys, exactly what you said, shouldn't have let their destiny or their fate be determined by a game in Penrith. And you can talk about losing as a $1.30 favourite at the Gold Coast, but you can also talk about losing as a $1.50 favourite at home to the Sharks, where they did lead something like 12-6. And I was on them that night, and I just felt like a lack of urgency that night. That's what comes back to bite you. And I hate to say this, but I kind of said it a few years ago, and the Raiders, I just don't know if they were ever going to get a better chance to win the comp than getting a repeat set. And it's like, can't remember the exact score, but level scores in a grand final with like 12 minutes to go against the Roosters before things turned on them. And people could make the reasons why, oh no, they can rebuild, they can go again. It just never came together again. North Queensland was at home in a prelim, rested and leading by like 8 or 10 points against Parramatta. You're never going to get a better chance to make a grand final than that. And while there were cases to be made, and I kind of bought into it, that North Queensland could have another strong year, just didn't all come together for them this year like last year. As for Penrith, well, we've seen that even if Luai is not necessarily ready week one of the finals, or even if he's touch and go the prelim, Cogger's a handy replacement, and there's so many other superstars in that team that they would still be favoured against anybody.
Yeah, you're right. I think Panthers would open as favourites, even if they were travelling to another team's stadium at this time of year with what we know. Interesting for the Cowboys, even if they won that Sharks and Titans game, they still would have finished seventh. But if they had just won one of them, they would have finished seventh anyway. They wouldn't have been able to jump the Sharks in sixth. But yeah, it's unbelievable to think.
Well, hang on. Are you factoring in the Sharks would add two less points?
Actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Sharks, so they would go to sixth if they won both, or seventh if they won one. Good pick up there. Which would have knocked the
Raiders. So if they'd beaten the Sharks in that game, they'd actually be hosting a final this week. But that's how narrow it was, and that's why it was such an exciting finish to the year. So many teams, you know, in the hunt for the finals, which was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you played finals with 32 points, as high as seventh, and down to 12th is Seagulls on 29. So, you know, a win and a draw away over a 27-round season. Really, really close stuff. Let's jump into the next game. It was Knights and Dragons. Knights picked up a pretty big victory, 32-12. I took Dragons here. I thought that they would have a really strong showing at home for their final home game, for the simple fact that Jack DeBellin's back, Knights were missing key players, and they just had nothing to lose. Like, there was really, the Dragons weren't playing for anything, and I thought that's what could have made them dangerous in here. Whereas the Knights might have been feeling the pressure of an 8-game win streak. Not at all. There was still so much confidence in this Knights side about what they were doing. They were throwing the ball around, attacking. It was expansive footy. It was really, really fun to watch here. And, you know, a 20-point victory when you're missing your marquee fullback and your halfback is impressive under any circumstances. Then you add in the pressure of the win streak, which is at now 9. Outside of the Panthers, I'd have to say the Knights have probably hit the finals in the best possible form. Would you agree with that, or is another side you think that hit it a bit
harder? I don't think anybody won 9 in a row this year. It's insane. Look, and again, my best bet, Dragons, but I did play it before team list, so that hurt. I still thought we were a very solid chance. I hoped that the Knights might rest one or two more after team list. Leo Thompson did come out, but they still came in with a pretty strong side. So then you can only hope that Dragons' home advantage, and maybe, you know, wanting to end the year with a win, whereas the Knights not needing the win, because, again, that's why I thought they should rest. They were going to finish fifth or sixth. May mean less desperation than what they've played with. I feel like the Knights just got a strong start in this game, and then the Dragons were always behind the eight ball, because I actually think the Dragons played pretty decent with the footy and did come in with a game plan that gave them a chance to win. But the Knights were really tough in defense and never gave the Dragons anything easy. It made the Dragons work really hard all night. But again, anyone who didn't watch the game is going to look at it and just see like a blowout win and think, of course, the Dragons are trash and the Knights are rolling. But I mean, the Dragons butchered some tries. Like Zach Lomax, like he just finds a way to like mess things up. You know, like there'll be a gaping hole to step infield. But why wouldn't I give a flick out the back pass to my winger who's tiptoeing the sideline already so he can get bundled out? Or even when Lomax made this incredible like skyscraping catch with two hands, of course he slipped just before the try line and then like falconed himself trying to throw the ball to somebody else. And you know, Fiunga, I don't know what he does. I shouldn't criticize individuals, but I would just say it's like a 22-12 game. The Dragons make a line break and there's 10 to go, and they had a bit of possession at that point. They should definitely score. They had multiple opportunities to score. They bomb it, but part of the reason they bombed it was because the Knights tackled the Dragons without the ball. So then there's a sin bin. Yeah. Maybe arguable penalty try, but anyway, sin bin. I felt like the Dragons should have just scored there, and then they would have been down 4 points, and it's anybody's game. They could have come back and won, but sin bin, all right, you're down 10. You still got a big chance. Like the Knights, I thought, were getting tired at that point in the game. And the Dragons were coming home strong. The Dragons managed to lose the game by 2 more tries from that point. And again, they're just so painful to watch. And I already touched on how those tries were scored and how that cost the mixed matchup, which was $1.30 to win going in and about $1.01 with 10 to play. God knows what price it is with three minutes to play. I should have been texting Tristan asking for early payout because he would have probably done it. And instead, yeah, the Knights. Another thing, like, both Knights wingers scored over 20 tries this season. Like, it's unreal. No one was probably rating the Knights attack. And I do actually have one more point to make. So I was, you know, I was hurting and I was kind of in shock at the end of this game with those couple of tries. Like, fair enough, you lose the best bet and you understand you took a risk with a big upside on Monday. Because, again, the Brisbane bet, if the team lists go our way, the line's going to be 2 or 3 tries in your favour. It didn't go our way and it was the same line. The Dragons, same thing. You're going to be a double-digit favourite. It didn't go away. It was the same line. So try to explain that long-term, those are great bets to make. I know people don't want to hear it. But anyway, I see my phone. I'm getting all these DMs last night. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I know. Another losing round. Yeah, I know. I took the Dragons. Yes, I know. The mixed matchup loss. Like, it's not really my fault, but I know I'm copying it. And read some of the, always read them, the DMs, and it's a bunch of people going, oh, you legend, what a pick. And like, I'm going, what's going on here? And it's all these people telling me that the Knights season handicap bet had won because they'd backed it on Bet365. And one of my tips was 14-1 preseason of Knights to be to exceed expectations by more than any team. Thanks to those 9 wins in a row, they actually won the ladder handicap. But in my mind, I'd already crossed that bet off as a loss because I tipped it on Top Sport and a couple of the bookies had slightly different variations on the handicaps, and the Warriors handicap was a point or two better on Top Sport than it was on 365. You had a winner if you backed it 365. You lost if you backed it on Top Sport. So it's not even a bet that I'll count as a win. I'm glad that some people got on, but for me, it almost just rubs it in that much further. Yeah. Like, that was actually one of my great calls of the year. So many people thought I was on drugs, saying that the Knights could make the 8, you know. And, of course, it started slow. And remember how much I was hurting all those weeks that they had those close losses? I just knew that would hurt. And I said this to you a couple of weeks ago. 15 to go, they sent Ponga for an HIA when he didn't hit his head against the Warriors. They had the ball on the Warriors trial. And if they actually won that game, they might have actually been the most improved team and won the ladder handicap. Although I probably shouldn't get into these parallel universes because then maybe the Warriors don't rest this weekend. But regardless, like, the Knights call didn't really win us any money except for those people who backed it on another bookie. So I guess that's nice for them. And I guess the messages I was getting last night could have been worse.
Yeah, they could have. They can always be worse on social media. You're right, actually, though, because if you take 2 off the Warriors, that puts them down to 36. That would put the Knights on 37. They'd climb above the Warriors there into the top 4 with that game. Saw that one from Colt there. That was one positive, I suppose, from this Dragons game. The Ben Hunt anytime try scorer tip we gave out. He scored 5 in a row now in a Strata Jubilee. He loves scoring there. And I noticed that he multed it with DCE as well. And I bet, Colt, your heart sunk when he passed that ball to Jake Trbojevic. Luckily, he scored later in that game. But for the Dragons, just a quick word on this game before we move on, Winnie. This summed up their season. This game right here. Think of the Storm game. Think of other games where they fight, they get close, but it's not close enough. And ultimately they go, oh, well, we've had a crack, and just drop their heads. And I just wonder how much can Shane Flanagan adjust that attitude where instead of them feeling, you know, we're this far out of the game, maybe that he can make them feel that they're this close. And that could be enough to spur them on to keep playing the full 80. Very interesting to see how the Dragons go in 2024. The talent's there. The roster's there, realistically.
Well, you say that. I'll put you on the spot, but I'll ask the question to the people watching too. Of all 17 clubs, if you could have the roster of any club, which one would you want the least? Which club do you think has, like, the least hope and has the least likelihood of success in the near future? Because I think I'd take the Dragons. I hate to say it, but I don't see where they're going. But are there clubs out there in a worse predicament than St. George?
Yeah, I'm looking at Bulldogs and Tigers potentially. Tigers do have...
The Bulldogs have so much more names. Talent.
The Bulldogs do have more talent next year coming as well.
And coming as well. Yeah.
Titans, you probably say Titans and Dolphins have better rosters. Yeah, I think you make a great point there. I think you've pulled me up there. The Dragons, they don't have the best roster for next year, but I suppose there is, like, the DNA is there for Flanagan to unlock it, because they do try for like 60, 70 minutes in a lot of games and then pull up short. And I just wonder if he can adjust their mindsets into a top eight mindset where you've got to play the full 80. I don't know. Well, time will tell ultimately. But yeah, to answer your question, I think you probably are right that they probably do, player for player, have the worst roster, especially when you consider like their best player, Ben Hunt, doesn't really want to be there. Yeah, tough take on the Dragons fans after their season, but yeah.
Sorry, Dragons fans.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I think so, yeah.
Just have to call it how we see it.
Let's jump into Sunday, where we saw some genuine premiership muscle on display when the Titans picked up a 34-30 point victory.
Must be talking NRLW.
Well, mate, I did put the caption for this on Instagram and Facebook saying, Titans flex their premiership muscle. Obviously a joke. We finish in 14th. Mate, the amount of people that commented, do you even know footy? How could it be premiership muscle? And I'm just sitting there just laughing. Got them all.
You know what you're doing. The algorithm strikes again.
Yes. Get that algorithm up. But look, probably not the game I was expecting, to be completely honest. I didn't see the Bulldogs scoring 30. Although I'm biased, I did see my Titans scoring about 34. And I thought once the Titans got out to a head start, which they did 12-0, I thought that they would really run away with the game. They are specialists in the final round. They've won the last four in a row. Even in 2014, when the Bulldogs went to the grand final that year, we beat them in the final round. We are a really good final round team for one reason or another. I think it goes back to the fact a lot of the times we're not in finals contention, so it's kind of pressure out the window, just go out and play footy, which we're very good at. We're very good at that. We're very talented in that regard. To the Dogs' credit, you look at the week they had, it couldn't have been more disrupted in terms of media surrounding the club. Every single day, there was legitimately a negative rumor or report coming from the club. So the fact they were able to show up in any sort of capacity really is commendable to the players in here. They dug in. They shown real fight. I think their fans can be proud of that despite the loss. Look, for the Titans, if this was round 17 mid-season recap show winning, I'm probably going to be pretty scathing with my review and say, how did you only beat the Bulldogs by 4 points with everything that's going on with them at the moment? But ultimately, it's the final game of the year. It's another year we miss finals. So as a Titans fan, although I'm wearing the Warriors hat, as a Titans fan, I'll take it and simply look forward to 2024 under Dez Hasler. But how do you see this game?
Well, speaking of Jerry says dead rubber specialists, yeah. And you talk about winning, you know, games against better teams in the final round. That reminds me, one of my greatest ever punting moments, the biggest underdog that I've ever picked in the NRL, I backed the Titans to beat the Roosters in 2013 in the final round. The Titans were $13 head-to-head, which you won't even see. Like, you won't even see teams that long. Like, West Tigers could play Penrith, and you probably don't even get $13 head-to-head. They were 24.5-point underdogs. They got the win on that afternoon. But, of course, the Roosters went on to win the premiership. So I'll never forget that game. The Roosters didn't need to win it. That was the beauty of it. In this case, the Titans needed to win it a little bit more there at home. And the Dogs have just been a mess, as we know, and panned all week. And Seraldo saying, oh, we don't have a culture issue. You know, we've set high standards. I wonder if he should be made to quit the job here and now because his team conceded a hat-trick to Kieran Foran. I feel like if you let Kieran Foran score three tries where he actually breaks your defensive line each time, it's not just like he got put through an open hole or he, you know, he got to a loose ball, I think, then you've got major problems. Yeah, and he literally was breaking tackles. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. Foran had the first two of the game and a third later. The Titans kind of led the whole way, but, you know, it's somewhat annoying. Like, a week ago, it wasn't clear who had motivation between Manly and the Bulldogs. We took plus 6.5 with the Dogs. The line's like 4.5. Could they lose that game by 4? No, they got destroyed by 40. And then this game, the line just kept on increasing. You know, it's 11.5, 12.5, 13.5, and they're down like 18 points. They fight all the way back. And, you know, yes, they scored the final try. Was it Shop? No, it was a Wilson. He jumped on that loose ball final play. But, you know, they were actually going to cover either way. But that did cut a 10-point deficit to 4. Yeah, the Dogs are one of the most disappointing teams this year because they're actually, in terms of odds, like 50-50 to make the eight. Everyone's been high on them for a couple of years in a row. I couldn't understand it at all. I know a year ago they were our biggest fade team, said Dogs ladder position going to, you know, massively hit the under. And even this year, neither of us picked them for top eight. And pretty early in the year, that was proven to be correct because the Dogs were not a strong side this year. And you could make some excuses like, oh, yeah, it may take some time for Serrato to implement his regime, new players. But they've run out of excuses for me towards the end of this year. Now, what they've got going for them is, some strong recruits. Like Stephen Crichton could really be a superstar if just kind of given the keys. And I think if he plays fullback especially, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, I think the ability is there for the Dogs and the Titans as well. You got a pretty young core, and I still feel like we haven't heard the end of this Ben Hunt situation anyway. But when you got four and winding back the clock like you did today, maybe you don't need Ben Hunt.
I mean, it's a big call still. Benny Hunt's Benny Hunt, right? But
I'm saying that tongue in cheek.
I hope so. But Foran's, I actually was fortunate enough to have a chat with him down in Melbourne at the members function after. And man, he is playing through some serious injuries. He is feeling every game on his body at this stage.
I hate to say it. He signed a big deal. You know, Manly, I think he went to, was it Parramatta after Manly?
Warriors, the one then stage Power, Warriors. I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And when he went to the Warriors on a big deal, they're interviewing him before the season and he's going, oh, mate, I tell you, I've got the back and hips of a 60-year-old, you know, and he's a larrikin, he's a great bloke and he's joking. And I'm going, I get it. Like, it's, you know, yeah, you can take the piss out of yourself to some extent, but like, that's not what I want to hear. If I've just spent over $500,000 a year for 4 years on a half and you're laughing about how your body's, you know, that brittle, and it's not his fault. Like, what a career he has had and how much better you think it could have been if his body didn't fail him. But it's a shame. But clearly when he can move, he can still tear teams apart like he did today.
Well, that was his first ever hat trick, but the way he took the line on, respectfully to Foz, as I'm a big Titans fan and the Bulldogs defense, he's probably not scoring a hat trick a lot of the times there. Like a side like the Panthers or Storm are going to jam him pretty hard there.
He ran the ball like a man who knows he's got 6 months to recover till the next game.
He did. He was a madman today. And I've got up our 2013 side that beat the Roosters 30-22. And I can see why everyone had a crack here. That was a bold bet, man. That was a very, very bold. The NRL website doesn't even have a coach for us. It says unknown coach. So the boys have rocked up, park footy style. Captain coach Kevin Gordon was at fullback. They've got the job done. I like it. I wish I could jump in
great time
and go back to that.
And this is before the pod even existed. We didn't start till 2015. But fond memories.
Mate, bring it back. I want more Titans underdog bets from you next year. But I'm sure our family wants profit, the Tripod family here. Let's jump into the final game of the round. It was Sharkies v Raiders. The score in this one, Sharkies won 24-6. Now, I did take Sharks here, and I was kind of pretty brutal in my assessment of the Raiders on our preview pod. I just didn't see a path to victory for them. I didn't think they had enough points in them through their spine and outside backs, and missing Horsburgh and Papali'i. It was always going to be hard to match it with the Sharks, who we've kind of spoken in previous recap pods. Their biggest strength is also their biggest weakness, and it's their forward pack. Once their forward pack generates momentum and starts going, they're so hard to stop. But vice versa, if teams can shut down that forward pack, then the rest of their spine is kind of like, okay, this isn't going to plan. What's our plan B? And we haven't seen them adapt to that yet. Look, despite my assessment of the Raiders being well off the pace in this one, it was 4-6 until the 52nd minute, rather. Then you factor in a Raiders send-off 7 minutes later, and suddenly the floodgates open for the Sharks. So whilst I can say my preview and be critical of the Raiders in my assessment, really, if Chris doesn't get sent off, maybe this one is a little bit closer than what this scoreline suggests here. The Sharks are one of the best teams against 12 players. They really are. Like I said there, with their strength being through the middle, that's what they did to the Raiders. They didn't say, okay, we're playing against 12 men, let's throw the ball around. It was literally, let's power through the middle and just tire them out and we'll come straight out the top of them. That's what they did. Now the Raiders have to go to Newcastle and beat the Knights, who are looking for 10 in a row. Meanwhile, the Raiders, the first team to ever play finals in the NRL era, without recording a 13-plus victory in the regular season. Based on Chris definitely being out with suspension, Papali'i, Horsburgh unavailable. The way their season's panned out, I'm going to make a pick here, Winnie. I think the Raiders go down next week, and I think we'd look back on their season and go, how the hell did they play finals? Do you see it that way? Am I being too critical? And how do you
see that's it. Their points differential is massively in the negative. They won all those narrow games earlier in the year. They've snuck their way in, but they haven't had a great year. And it's not a bold pick. I guess the Knights are what, like $1.30 range to beat them next week. And without stepping on the toes of Wednesday's pod, that's most likely what's going to happen. And I actually was super impressed by the Raiders today. And I was watching them in an arm wrestle, and I felt like the Sharks were winning the arm wrestle. Like, they were getting the better yardage, better contact. But like, the Sharks had so many errors today just playing the ball. And I'm just going to say something else as well. Like, how many times have we seen a penalty or, sorry, an error called against a man playing the ball, and then they challenge it because they're like, I didn't do anything wrong. The defender, you know, couldn't clear the ruck. And the bunker says it was a ball plant. Well, every single play the ball in the NRL when a player is getting off the ground is a ball plant. So I don't know. It's a bit harsh because it's like a cop out for the refs. They can get it totally wrong. Like, there was one where I thought clearly the Raiders didn't clear the ruck, but they're like, oh, it's a ball plant by Ramien. Like, yes, 90% of play the balls are a ball plant. So unless you want to change the rule, but I digress. Again, like, really bad results, and I want to be as clear to follow as I possibly can be, and you're going to see profit loss. If you're having 100 per play, including mixed matchups, is around negative $500, and I feel like we've just bled the last few rounds, and you can certainly pinpoint some bad picks, but again, if you want to look pick by pick this round, I don't know what I could have done differently. Like, I definitely stand by each and every one, and I do feel like I'm hopefully given some good advice as well, alongside the best bets. Like, of course, I said, you know, as well as saying you could multi-storm into Penrith, into Sharks, but also saying conditionally, if Melbourne win, you want to play Penrith. Like, Penrith became one of the best bets of the round, but, you know, we didn't know that information till a day after the pod. And then the Sharks as well, I actually talked about how they were that close to being a best bet on Wednesday, but I would rather know what happens Saturday before I play it. But once Penrith had won, you could still play Cronulla. You know, you could still play Cronulla -9.5 today. So I told people in the chat, and people are messaging me, that's a great play for mine. And it won, but I guess it wasn't necessarily as easy as I thought, because it was really tight. And then Chris gets sent off. You know he's going to get suspended, and you talk about the forwards they're missing. So that's tough for the Raiders. What about Cronulla? Think about all the favours they've done the Roosters. So Cronulla knocked off Souths, so the Roosters had the chance to catch Souths. Cronulla knocked off Cowboys in North Queensland, so the Roosters could catch the Cowboys. And Cronulla knocked someone else off as well who was in the hunt. It's not coming to me, but basically, well, and they've obviously just beaten the Raiders, which means that the Roosters play Cronulla, which is the matchup they would prefer rather than having to play this red-hot Newcastle. And Connor Tracy, who's done so well filling in for Kennedy, he goes out today with a hamstring injury. Now, I don't know if Kennedy's going to be back yet. So now you've got your first and second choice fullbacks are out. So that's tough. But I will give credit to Cronulla in terms of the style of play. Like, the Raiders wanted to play a final style match. They wanted to play pure arm wrestle, high completion, get to a kick, lots of kick meters, back it up with your kick chase. And Cronulla was willing to do that back and forth with the Raiders. Clearly, a really key play is when Cronulla's only up 4 points and the Raiders make a line break and could have nearly scored and taken the lead. And then at the end of that set, they kick an attacking kick and it ends in an amazing Katoa catch and then a dangerous tackle and a send-off, and it totally flips the game. So I think if you backed the Raiders head-to-head, you actually had a better chance than what the score shows. But once Cronulla had a man advantage, you're right, like, they didn't try and just throw it around everywhere. They just earned the right from that point, and comprehensive win, which they needed after they were beat by a big score a week ago. So that's the key info that comes out of this game, is probably the question marks over the availability of some key backline players.
Yeah, I've got a few points from when you were speaking there. I've had a look. So Will Kennedy on the NRL website is listed as his return as finals. Where that gets confusing is other players like Jerome Hughes are listed finals week one, where it specifically says the week, whereas Kennedy just says finals. You mentioned that their second fullback is out. Well, their third's out as well. Cade Dykes is their third fullback. He's out with an ACL at the moment. So they're three fullbacks down. We'll just have to wait and see, I suppose, what happens there. The Sharks Roosters.
Play Nico. Do you play Nico and then you bring Moylan back into the halves with Trindle?
That's an option for them for sure. The last time they played the Roosters, it was the Sharks and Roosters. I think we were split on that game. We couldn't decide between us which way we liked it. So it'd be interesting to see how we go this week. And final point on this game specifically, on the preview pod, I brought up my Dally M leaderboard and said Sean Johnson's won the Dally M medal. But on my unofficial ladder, the only one that can catch him is Nico Hines with a maximum point performance. Given he had four tries yesterday, you probably have to think he picks up the 6 points, right? Which means we could be looking at a shared Dally M between Johnson and Hines, which I don't agree with. I think,
but it won't happen because you had Hines still able to catch Johnson, but you weren't doubling the votes during all those Warriors wins. So the reality is he would have been more than one game worth of votes ahead.
But so, in that time as well, I'm only giving Hines 3 points.
For the feel like the Sharks didn't win that many games down the stretch, whereas the Warriors won seven in a row.
So that's how I feel as well.
The difference was bigger for Johnson when you weren't doubling the votes,
yeah,
and therefore his lead would have been higher. I mean, it's all academic, and unfortunately we can't bet on Dally M, so which is such a crying shame because it would be such a fun market to get action on throughout the year and to monitor.
It would be such a fun little segment we could have and on the show or even like a single pod breaking it down. I don't agree with the way the Dally M works, but that's how it is. I've got the lines up for the next four games. Now, obviously, don't want to go too deep into this, and you don't have to give an answer for this one. Broncos and Storm set at -4.5 in Broncos' favour. Panthers are at -12.5 against Warriors. Sharkies are -0.5 against Roosters. And Knights are -11.5 over Raiders. Anything jump out to you early there as value or that you might like or anything like that?
I mean, 7 days ago on a live Sunday recap, something jumped out to me as value, and that was the Broncos at such a short line. And I shared that as an official play, and that came back to bite me. I'm sorry to say I won't tip my hand yet, especially because I haven't done my full preparation, and I definitely will wait for team lists. And to be dead honest to you, how much do you want my best bets right now? Anyway, I think we're 42 and 43. But what about you? Did any stick out to you?
Well, I guess that's the key difference between you and I, right? Like I've got so much wrong this year, but I'm not officially held to the standard that you are. So I'm very lucky in that regard because it's so difficult putting your neck out there on the line and making predictions on the internet. Because the reality is it's very tough to get everything right and people are going to come after you the times when you're not getting it right. And when you are getting it right, they're your best friend. So it can be difficult. The one that jumps out to me is I think the Knights. I think I'd have to favour that Knights line of everything at the moment. I could see them doing a 13-plus job on the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a little bit dead in the water after this performance. They'll also be missing Chris. So Rapana remains at fullback. But I wouldn't take it yet, Winnie, just because we don't know what's the deal with Kalen Ponga, right? And I do wonder if Ponga's name does that line grow. Ultimately, we'll have to wait and see. But we will know that information when we see you guys next, which will be Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Do not miss our finals week one preview show. Tell a friend, tell your mum, tell your neighbour, tell everyone at work, send out an email to the distribution list of all. And before we go, I can see there, Winnie, you've got a NFL season preview. Maybe a chance to tell the followers what that's about.
Yeah, so a massive week coming up because the NFL actually kicks off this week, Friday Aussie time, and then a full slate of games 7 days from tomorrow. And we've got Neddy, who provides Neddy Given Sunday every single week with a breakdown for punters and tips as well for the NFL. And he's going to join me tomorrow night. I'll put it on the screen. So Monday night, live, we're going to do just a one-off season preview. We're, you know, looking at all sorts of the future markets and where we might find some value, including some custom multi. So I will be in the lab making a season multi people can follow, even if you are in the casual fan. I love the NFL. so beautifully bridges the gap from NRL off-season through to, you know, through to a Super Bowl in February, and then you're back to NRL in March. So I absolutely love it. I think it's getting more and more popular. And of course, Netty, he follows nothing but the NFL. So that's going to be great fun tomorrow night. We've got the opportunity for people to submit their own custom NFL multis for something they can ride, like we did with NRL. That's in the tripod group. And then Wednesday night, you and I are going to do kind of our traditional game-by-game breakdown, but I'll get you to speculate, you know, more so towards the finals as well. But then we've got a bonus show. So I think I can, I won't spoil the guests yet. Maybe I'll give one out, which is Nicole is going to join me for a bonus show plus another special guest. And it's going to be a finals preview extravaganza. So I've seen people talking about, you know, top try scorer for finals, top point scorer for finals, and just simply like, to win the grand final, to make the grand final, Quinella's, you know, stage of elimination. We're going to cover all that kind of territory. We're going to go back to back. So our pod will be regular time, you and I, 6:30. But then once that's wrapped, 7:30 straight away, a second pod. And of course, there won't be any footy till Friday night. So people will have a full 48 hours to get around and digest both of those shows. So hopefully we can still, there's still a month of footy. And while it is really tough to beat the bookies at this time of year because they don't get a lot wrong, there's still lots of opportunity because of the amount of different ways we can come at it. And, you know, in some ways there's less uncertainty than ever because you take motivation and some of the intangibles out of it. And it's, for the most part, everyone's best footy against everybody else's best. And you, as a footy fan, you have to love this time of year. So that's what I've got on NFL tomorrow, doubleheader Wednesday, NRL pods. Again, mate, hope you've had a great Father's Day, and shout out to the fathers yet again and everyone that tuned in with us tonight. We hope you have a great week before we may catch you again on our shows. Thanks, guys. Hope you've enjoyed the regular season as well. Lego.